Okay, so if you are marching, like, let's say it's March of 1945, and everything's crumbling around you, and you're marching, you know, getting away from the Americans or the Russians, and you got super sick, not wounded, but really sick, would they pull you off from that march and send you to the hospital?
In this time, Germany was such in a chaos, you was completely on yourself. I mean, 1945, in April, everything was breaking down. I wrote that in that article, you know.
War is hell and hell is war?
Yeah.
I've got it right here. All right. If you were in combat with the Russians, what was done with the dead?
If you had time to bury him, if not, you left him. It depends. You know, I have seen it after battlefield, where everything's calmed down. Usually it was dug big trenches and the people were put in. There was not individual graves. And there was no time for it.
Yeah, I guess I had to get out of it quickly. All right.
But many times, when you was retreating, the dead was left. So that's why a battlefield, when it was a certain time on a certain place, not moving too far, the smell of death, you smell it for miles and miles and miles before you even see the front line. The stink of death. That's a most terrible thing. Even now, when I smell a dead animal, it always comes back. Because human stink is the same like a dead animal.
Did the Russians shoot wounded prisoners?
Yes.
How about the Americans and British?
No, I had never heard of it.
Okay, but the Russians, that's what they did.
The Russians did, because they didn't even take care of their own people very good in many cases.
Okay. All right, let's just say you were on a march in a tank, you were on a road march with a tank, and you're in a column. How did you replace the equipment that...
Each regiment had a company for repair. They kept mostly anything you needed.
Okay, well, now what about supplies? Let's just say you lost your rucksack.
Oh, that just was marked down as a loss.
Was it replaced?
Later, if they could replace it, they replaced it.
Okay, how was the supply system?
In many cases, very good.
How about...
Even on the end of the war, it was surprising, you know. We always get food. We always had ammunition. Only on the end of the war, we had different kind of rifles. Like my last company, we had French rifles, we had Belgian rifles, we had German rifles. And some of them, the ammunition wasn't fitting from one to the next. Now, with the Russians, they had the same ammunition like we had. We could use them. And I always... The German carbine was a carbine you had to open up every time the chamber to put the next bullet in. The Russian had semi-automatic, the Americans too. And that saved a tremendous amount of life. That's why I couldn't understand what he said. Kennedy was shot by that one man with an Italian rifle. He had the same kind of rifle. He had to open up the chamber. How could he shot Kennedy in 5 seconds?
With four rounds.
He had to open up the chamber. He lost the side of him. Because when you open up the chamber, you lost your target. You had to find your target again. So I doubt the whole thing with the Kennedy from the beginning. There must have been more people involved. In my judgment, because with an Italian rifle, shooting the man 4 times or 3 times in that short period is impossible. And it would have been impossible with a German rifle too.
Oh, Lord. Okay. All right. During were you in on any of the Blitzkrieg?
No.
Okay. Well, you can tell me this, I hope. How was scouting and reconnaissance done?
Mostly by airplanes.
Aerial recon?
Yeah.
Okay, were infantry squads ever sent out, and you know, for probing?
That only when the front line was stagnant. You like to find out what kind of unit was on the other side. No, we attacked Americans just for food. I tell you frankly.
Just for food?
Just for food.
But I thought you just told me that you usually...
Yeah, but in the front line sometimes, you know, when the food didn't come through, and we know the Americans had good food, so we tried to get their food.
Wow. Were you successful?
Sometimes we were, sometimes we weren't.
Ooh, okay.
Like, for instance, in Sicily, we sent one time out to find out who was on our side. It was on the British line by Catania. And we found out we had Gurkhas on the other side.
Gurkhas?
Gurkhas. They come from India, you know, they're under British command, Gurkhas.
Oh, Gurkhas, okay.
And well, our commander heard about that, he said, no prisoners taken, because they don't take prisoners either. And be careful, don't let him come closer than 50 meters, because they can draw their knife so correct. And they can rob you. You know, that was the only British outfit who was allowed to take beauty. Bounty, bounty. So they could take the rings, the watches. And they was ruthless. So our commander said, if we have them on the other side, don't try to take any prisoner.
All right.
We know him from the First World War. He was an older man.
He had had experience.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you give me some examples of jury rigging equipment?
What do you mean by that?
Let's just say something breaks. Like you break a track on a tank, and you don't have the end connectors for it. So you have to...
Oh yeah, you try everything, if you have time, you try everything to make it run again. It doesn't matter how it looks like, but you try to make it run.
Can you give me examples of that?
I lost one time the truck. I ran on an Italian mine, and it blew one truck off. Mm-hmm. But, of course, we had some extra trucks with it, mm-hmm. you know, some spare trucks with it. We fixed it, but we did... We didn't have a pin what going to it, you know. So we found from an old farm equipment, we found a piece that was not the same size, but it was a little bit smaller, and it worked until we had chance to go to repair.
Now, well, that pin went through the entire track,
I assume,
it was approximately that long. Okay. I've worked with track before, and it's a pain to put back together.
Yeah, it's hell.
Yes, it is. I've had to tear
down like for instance, when we got stuck, we usually cut a tree down. We had some chains too, and we chained the tree on the trucks on both sides, and then pulled them under and walked ourselves out.
That is so cool. I like that. That's what I call getting in touch with nature. Alright, now I'm going to give you a question here, and it's going to have three different areas with three different answers. How effective were the tank attacks in Sicily, Salerno, and Berlin?
In Sicily, we attacked Americans in Gela, but we didn't succeed because the Americans had the Navy as a backup. We were standing off the coast, and they had airplanes who pinpointed our position. And the Navy devastated us. We lost in that attack 32 tanks, I think.
Out of how many?
About 96.
You lost a third of your force in one attack?
Yeah.
Y'all can't...
The attack broke off because we couldn't do anything against the Navy. The Navy was the one who saved their hide. Otherwise, we would have driven them off the coast. And our infantry, who was going in the attack with us, they broke too because of the Navy shelling. And then another thing, we didn't have any air cover, and the Americans had tremendous air force.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why then later on, we learned a lesson there. Later on, we only moved at night time. In daytime you couldn't move. Then I think one had two tails, I think they call them lightning, and the other one was just an attack plane, the Tomahawks, I think they call them, and they was terrible. I mean, they controlled the roads, you couldn't move in daytime, you couldn't even stick your head out.
Thunderbolts.
Thunderbolts.
Okay, I know the one you're talking about. Okay, this is a little off the subject, but it's something I'm interested in. The lightning that you referred to. All right.
It was a very dangerous plane for us, because they could shoot from the front, but when they pulled up, they shoot from the back, too.
Well, how'd they do that? I've never heard of a lightning having guns in the tail.
In between, you know, the tail was free. They was dangerous for us. They carried bombs and they carried machine guns too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was 20 millimeters. I saw one shot down. And I think it was 20 millimeters, the cannons, what they had.
Yeah, they had a single 20 in there.
We always was very careful with airplanes because we watched out everywhere. One time, we was on a march, and it was in Ionia, inside a city, close to Catania. And I was the spotter. We had already lost the tanks then. I was the spotter, and I had a feeling something is behind, and I turned around, and I saw lightnings coming in to us towards the street, and I only could tell the driver, go in the next road in, airplane. And my gosh, we missed it for a few seconds because they shut down the road.
Well, that's got to be one hellacious feeling to...
Oh my gosh, yeah, many times.
Got to be scary. Okay, before I ask you about Salerno and Berlin, I'm going to ask you a personal question, if it's all right. What does the fear of battle do to a person?
It makes you very nervous. And I don't know, it's hard to describe. You want to live, that's the first thing. And another thing is, after you are in, you have a feeling about the hell with it. You can't describe it. It's a feeling, it's there, and it never left you.
So you
only the excitement, you know, when the shooting really is going hard, and the artillery is exploding left and right. Only the excitement is where you come to the point, the hell with it. Either I make it or I make it. I don't. You can't describe it. The fear is always there. And if somebody tells me he never had fear, in my book he's a liar. Because I have seen it with many people. When we went to Sicily, we had a master search in our unit where we sent over from Faro to Cozzoletto. That's the sharp of point is Faro in Sicily, and Cozzoletto is on the mainland. It's just a small street about 8 kilometers wide. Well, we went over there, he said, you know, I have the feeling I never come back alive from this island. And I told him, I said, that's hogwash, you know. How can you know that? He said, I know it. And he became very calm. He didn't cry or anything, and sure enough, he was one of the first ones here. And my cousin, the same way. He wrote a letter, he died in Creta as a parish trooper. Mm-hmm. He wrote a letter on the 16th of May, and he wrote his father, and he said, we will go in battle on the 20th. We know we have to go to Creta. I will never come back. Keep on like you did before. Don't stop dancing. We danced a lot at home. Don't stop dancing. It's my fate that I will be killed. And the letter came about 5 days later after we had noticed that he was killed. And he was on the 20th, right? 2,000. And I have seen it I heard it from different people, but that's just the two places where I know personally.
It's sort of like a premonition of...
Yeah.
Now,
I always had a feeling nothing will happen to me, but that's the funny part. And then when it happened, I guarantee you that was like a downfall.
Yeah, you got
a complete
bubble
downfall.
Burst. Yeah, well, I'm glad you're still alive to be here with us. I think that's wonderful.